world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to speak up or stand up, but we can speak up, ladies and gentlemen, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. As I always say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Did you hear what I said? I said, we shall rejoice. I'm including you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, God's been good to you. Yes, he has. God's been good to you. Yes, listen, listen, you have made it to another week. Yes, God not only lets you see a brand new day, but God has allowed you to see a brand new week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, you was able to have a good weekend, some time off, some relaxation and recreation. And hopefully you was able to go to church where God can do some recreation in your life. And I pray that your pastor's sermon on yesterday, I hope and pray that it was just what I was getting ready to say what the doctor ordered, but just what the Lord ordered. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he got that sermon out of the oven of heaven. Yeah, the reason I say oven, because it's fresh bread. Yeah, yeah, he got some fresh bread that God had cooked up there in heaven, and your pastor got some fresh bread and gave you some fresh bread, and boy, even this morning you still chewing on some of that fresh bread. And I'm glad you tuned in even here to the Situation Room, because you can get some fresh bread here on KLITB. Oh, we got a lot of good fixing, a lot of good nourishment for one soul here. You know, Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. And today, in the Situation Room, we got a wonderful program for you. This is the day that we focus in on our hot topic. And today, our hot topic is a very hot topic. It's what just about everybody in the nation is thinking about. It's dealing with this shooting there in Charleston, South Carolina. And our topic that we're going to be focusing on is Black America or Christianity under attack. Is Black America or Christianity under attack? But before we get into our hot topic, just in case you have a hot topic or you have a Bible question, a marriage question, a question pertaining to the Christian life, you can email me at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. Or you can call me at 972-257-3766. 972-257-3766. All right. We have a hot topic, and our topic this morning, as I said, is Black America Christianity under attack? Is Black America Christianity under attack? And as I said, our program is focused and centered around those nine Christian godly men and women, African American, that was gunned down at church on the last Wednesday. And we do send out our condolences to the family, to those families, because they are hurting. And somebody this past Sunday was not able to really celebrate Father's Day and what have you because of what happened last Wednesday. Somebody didn't have their daddy. Somebody didn't have their mama. All because of this senseless killing that took place there, right there at church. And so we do want to keep lifting these families and the Charleston community and the state of South Carolina. We want to continue to lift our fellow Americans up in prayer. Matter of fact, our whole nation needs some prayer. But as I was out there on the web, I ran across an article that was written by Tavis Smiley, and this is from USA Today. This was June 18th, and Tavis Smiley had this to say, and June 18th, that was last Thursday, and he had this to say: Black America is under attack, unsafe, unprotected, subject to random violence. Did you hear what he said? Black America is under attack, unsafe, unprotected, subject to random violence. And I'll read some of this article. It says, life has a funny way of reminding us what really matters. Over the last week, we have seen many news stories about the curious case of this Spokane, Washington NAACP leader, Rachel Dunzel, and regarding this racial, you know, this lady, she was saying that she was black, but really she was white. But in her mind, she says that she's transracial now. She have changed from being white to black. And so that was in the news. And for the most part, Monday, Tuesday of last week, that was in the news. But then all of a sudden, he says, when I saw the headline, 9 dead in a hate crime shooting at historical African American church in Charleston, he says, my heart heaved. Not another mass killing, not more gun violence, not in another black church. But sadly, yes, in a black church. Why is it that black wounds never get to heal? He says, Black America is under attack, unsafe, unprotected, subject to random violence, hated for who we are. And then he says, nothing is sacred. One has to be careful not to get ahead of the story that will surely develop in the coming days as we learn more about the alleged killer who reportedly sat for an hour in the historical Emmanuel African-American African Methodist Episcopal Church in downtown Charleston before he opened fire on the prayer group. However, we do know that the victims are all black and the alleged assailant is white. Hence, the Department of Justice and the FBI immediately launched a hate crime investigation for a nation that loved to lecture others on hate crime. One would think that we would be a bit more civilized. We know that 6 black women and 3 black men were killed in this bloody massacre. Just more evidence that black fellow citizens, especially black men, are disproportionately victims of gun violence in America, even if they are praying in a church. And so he's asking the question here. He's making the statement, black America is under attack, unsafe, unprotected, subject to random violence, hated for who we are. And it seems like that black America is under attack. And it seems like that we are unsafe because, number one, this happened right there in the church. You would have thought that by this being in a church, then everything would have been all right. But not so. So that's what Tavis Smiley had to say about that. The pastor that was killed, he was, you know, a senator, a state senator, and he was fighting for some kind of gun legislation and stuff like that, and he was interviewed by USA Today, and he wanted people to feel safe at church. They was interviewing another pastor friend of his, who also was a senator, Senator Clement Pinckney, pastor of Emmanuel AME Church, was among the 9 people killed Wednesday. Oh, this was the pastor that was killed, but there was another pastor. Let's see, can I find it? Darrell Jackson. Darrell Jackson was a state senator, and Darrell Jackson served right there in the South Carolina legislature with Reverend and Senator and Pastor Pinckney. And he was an advocate, Pastor Pinckney, the man that was killed, an advocate for safe churches. And I thought I could bring that up because we did have an audio of that, but don't look like I'm going to be able to get that up. But let me give my take on this, because I was watching an interview with one of the black leaders there in Charleston, and he mentioned how that the American flag at the White House was flying half-staff, and how the flag in most governmental buildings, even around the country, was flying at half staff. But the Confederate flag right there in the capital of South Carolina was still flying as high as it has, as high as it wanted to be. And as it always have been, flying high. So that was something to think about. All the other, the United States flags was flying at half staff, but this Confederate flag was flying just as high as it had always been. And this Confederate flag, the thing about that Confederate flag, it's a symbol of the old South. It symbolizes white superiority. It symbolizes slavery and white supremacy. You know, when Germany and Hitler, when they lost the war there in World War II, they didn't keep that sticker or that swap flag as a symbol because they lost the war. And the country was able to come to back together after a period of time, and they was able to move on. Now, and today, Germany is a united country, and they was able to move on. When America fought for its independence, once it defeated Great Britain, once it had defeated England, they didn't get the British flags and start flying the British flags here in America. Why? Because the British had lost the battle, and America rallied around one flag, the American flag, and the country was able to move on. When the South, though, lost the battle of lost the war between the states, the Civil War, the South, though, was able to keep its Confederate flag, and our country haven't been able to move on. Because we are basically flying two different flags. We're still flying the American flag, and we are flying the Confederate flags, which stands for white supremacy, slavery, and the Old South and Old Dixie. And so until we are able to deal with this Confederate flag and tear it down, where we can fly up on the one flag, where our nation can preside upon the just one flag, we're going to always remain divided. See, though, our problem is still racism. Racism still exists. See, we can try to bury our head in the sand if we want to, like an ostrich, but that's not going to work. We still got a problem. You know, I'm reminded of Apollo 13 when that spaceship malfunctioned out there in space. The astronaut got on the, his radio, and he contacted Mission Control in Houston and said, "Houston, we got a problem." And that's what we need to do here. We can't keep denying that racism don't exist just because we got a black man in the White House. No, it's even worse today, ladies and gentlemen. Now, a lot of people see this crime as just a hate crime, particularly because it occurred in the church, and they see that this was an attack on Christianity. And so a lot of people are asking questions, was this an attack on Christianity? Yes, it was an attack on Christianity, because this man allowed the devil to get the best of him. And see, the devil hates the church. The devil is fighting against the church. See, Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and wicked spirits that hang out in high places. But the church was also but it was also let me get my thoughts here. It was also an attack on black people. It was just not just an attack on the church. It was also an attack on black people. See, Christianity has advanced the cause of black America. Most of our leaders have come out of the church. Frederick Douglass came out of the church. Harriet Tubman came out of the church. Dr. Martin Luther King came out of the church. Mega Evers came out of the church. Reverend Jesse Jackson came out of the church. Reverend Al Sharpton came out of church. All of our black leaders, for the most part, came out of the church. So I can understand why this man attacked it, the black church, because the black church has been used by God to make lives better for black people, to advance the life of not only black people, but for all people, particularly all races. See, so if you get rid of the black church, you can just about stop the advancement of black people in America. Matter of fact, you can just about stop the advancement of all people in America if you get rid of the black church, because the black church fought for integration and fought for the civil rights of women's and blacks and minority. So the black church has made it better for all Americans. Now, what was this gunman problem? What was this problem? It was really not just a skin problem, but it was a sin problem. Did you hear what I said? Listen to me good now. This thing was not just a skin problem, but it was a sin problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because see, hatred is a sin. White supremacy is a sin. When one group of people think that they are better than another group of people, that's a sin. Now, many people are shocked and amazed that this killing like this is still happening today. But we shouldn't be too surprised. Now, you can be surprised, but don't be too surprised, because we are still living in America. So don't be too surprised, because groups like the skinheads, the KKK, and other white supremacy groups, they are allowed to exist in America. See, think about the KKK. A Ku Klux Klan person, they can be a banker, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker in the daytime, but they are killers in the nighttime. See, the only difference between this man and what the KKK do is this man didn't have no sheet on. See, the KKK, he have his sheet on. So black people, they are in jeopardy wherever they go, because you don't know. I mean, your school teacher can be a KKK. A person that you work right next to can be a part of the KKK. You don't know what people do late at night. And see, that's the thing. That was the difference between this man and the KKK. This man just didn't have no sheet on. And see, it should be illegal, ladies and gentlemen, to join these kinds of groups. Those groups should not be allowed to exist. Any supremacy group, any hate group, whether it's a white hate group, or a black hate group, or a Chinese hate group, Mexican hate group, it don't matter. If it's a hate group, then it should be illegal. Did you hear what I said? It should be illegal in America. See, we look at killing as a crime, but hating is a crime. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Jesus said that in the Bible. Look. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill, thou shalt be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment." So Jesus didn't see the big problem as killing. He says the problem is getting angry, because you get so angry, that's what leads to killing. And so if we're going to fix this thing, we got to start with the heart, ladies and gentlemen. We got to deal with the heart issues. See, so the crime then is this sin of hate. And see, if we're going to fix this thing, then we're going to have to start right there with the church. The church going to have to get tough on sin. See, Martin Luther King said some of the biggest racists were members of churches. Lester Maddox was the governor of Georgia during Martin Luther King Day, and he fought to hold back black people. But he was a big member of a large church. George Wallace was the governor of Alabama, and he tried to keep black people from going to white colleges and tried to hold black people back. But he was a member of a large white church. Ross Barnett, the governor of Mississippi, fought against integration. Also fought to keep black people out of white colleges. But he was a big official at a large white church there in Mississippi. See, if we're going to fix this problem of this sin problem, this hate problem, we got to start cleaning up the church. We got to be bold enough. Did you hear what I said? We got to be bold enough. We got to be bold enough to deal with these racist members of our church. If there's somebody who's a racist that's in our church, listen to me good. If there is a racist in our church, we need to bring that person before the church, and we need to let them know, listen, you're going to either have to get right or get left. Did you hear what I said? You're going to have to get right or get left. Get out of this church. Yeah, you're going to either have to repent of this sin of racism, get out of this church, or your name going to be struck from the roll here at this church. And I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much money you got. Take your money with you, because we don't want it. See, the church done sold out. The church has been selling out too long to racism. And as a result, some of our racist members are going out there killing folks. Yeah. And so we got to get tough on sin, and we got to learn to love each other. Jesus said we must love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And then we got to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Because regardless how a person look, they our neighbor. Whether they red, yellow, black, or white, all of them are precious in God's sight. And Martin Luther King said it like this: we got to learn to love each other as brothers and sisters, or we going to perish like fools. All right, that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.